Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, I know that was a very different way to start this radio program and podcast, a little different than what I normally do. But today's program is going to be different. There are some topics that need to be discussed, things that need to be said, concepts you need to understand. And it's vitally important now more than ever to discuss these very items. The program began with part of a verse of Scripture where it says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and whom will go for us? And I said, Here I am, send me. This comes from Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm becoming deeply concerned with each passing day. Now, last weekend, I shared my thoughts on the dying church, the fact that places like the United States that once were considered a Christian nation, Europe considered a Christian region, the United Kingdom, all of it, it's no more. Germany is not a Christian nation. It's a pagan nation now. The United Kingdom is also increasingly a pagan nation. Canada, Australia, the United States. There's no doubt in my mind about it. And you can say, well, no, Bob, that's not true. Well, it is true. It is extremely true. And the sooner we begin to understand that we are pilgrims in a foreign land, if you are a follower of Christ, the sooner you understand the precept that we are in this world but not of it, the better off you're going to be. There are far too many people that claim the name of Christ that do not live for Him, that do not know Him, that do not honor Him, that do not worship Him, but they're cultural Christians. Nowadays, as we become so desirous of the things of this world, many that should be answering the call of service are turning it down, turning their back, ignoring it, living their lives for themselves. I realize with the work that I do with this radio program, with the small church where I'm a pastor, in the outreaches and church bodies within where I work, it's becoming an increasingly pagan world. It is getting more difficult, even in the Bible Belt, to get people to even attend a church. Now, last week, and I shared some statistics about evangelical Christians, and I'm not talking about everybody that somehow identifies to something that resembles Christianity. I don't care what it is. I mean, mainline, Protestantism, Catholicism, evangelicalism, it doesn't matter. Every branch of Christianity, the majority of those that claim it do not attend a service on a Sunday. The majority do not go. They do not participate. They do not care. They're Christians in name only. They're frauds. They're phonies. They're fakes. And when that day of judgment comes, and they talk about all the great things that they once did, well, Lord, you know, I went to church when I was a kid, even got baptized. I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Or, Lord, we did all these things in your name. I don't know you. I was shocked when I looked among evangelicals in particular. The group you would believe, these are self-identifying. These are the ones that say, I am an evangelical. I go to one of these new churches, or maybe I'm Assembly of God. Maybe I'm Church of God. Maybe I'm Baptist. Maybe, doesn't matter. Name any group that claims to be evangelical. And on any given Sunday morning, here in the United States, what percentage of evangelical Christians bother to get out of bed, get in their car or walk or whatever the case may be, to even go to a place of worship? Now, obviously, The southeastern United States, for the most part, does a little bit better than others. States like Arkansas, Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, they do pretty well. They're in the 20% bracket, with Mississippi being one of the higher at 27%. Tennessee at 21, Georgia 21, South Carolina actually 20. South Dakota, kind of an outlier in the Midwest, 20%. But Minnesota's 9% of evangelicals go to church. Utah, 7%. Nevada does better with 8%. California, even better than Nevada at 11%. New York is 8%. New Jersey, 7%. Florida, just 12%. Texas and Oklahoma, 16 and 17%. These are the self-declared evangelicals. And that's the percentage of those that will bother to go to church and worship. And they make a mockery of what the writer of Hebrews says, forsaking not the assembling of thyself, which is the matter of some. But we should more so, the more as we see that day approaching. But instead, what we're seeing is 2 Thessalonians play out, a great falling away. These phony evangelicals, and many of them, well, they may have been in a Baptist church, maybe they were in some contemporary church, and other things have come along to take their time, and they don't need church anymore. They got it all covered. They're living in this false sense of this false security. This idea that I only had to go down and shake the preacher's hand one time, get dunked in the tub, and you know, I'm good. I'm good for eternity. Now I'm going to live for me. I don't know where this mentality has come from, but it's increasingly becoming the mentality of those that claim the name of Christ. And like I say, I don't care if it's among evangelicals. I don't care if it's among mainline Protestant churches. And many of the mainline churches have totally forsaken the gospel at the very top, no less, where they make pronouncements that are anti-scriptural, totally an anathema to the faith. They have created for themselves a fake and phony and fraudulent gospel. And you look at some of these churches and the pictures, and you see a bunch of just white-haired hippies just sitting in these churches talking about social justice and nothing about sin. They celebrate sin. They don't beg for their forgiveness of sin. And the United States wonders why it's a nation increasingly in decline. Let me say something. The United States is a declining empire, for lack of a better term. It's on borrowed time. The plug is going to be pulled. The United States, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia, all of Europe, it's going down. It's going down under the weight of its sin, the weight of its debt, the weight of its arrogance, the weight of its antichrist attitudes, and the weight of its evil. And where is the church? Where are the preachers? Where are the evangelists? Where are those that are going out to proclaim the good news? They're AWOL. They're absent without leave. God is calling many people into his service. And a surprising number of people who claim to be the followers of Christ are ignoring the call. They don't want to be called. And as I said, many don't even want to show up on Sunday anymore. They got other things to do. Doesn't matter. I remember a song. It was a Southern gospel song. It was very popular about 30 years ago. The Kingsmen, called Excuses. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. The devil will provide them from the church if you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses, so to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Now, we laughed at that song 30 years ago. But these numbers that I read today are scary because you're looking at the great falling away that is recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 playing out right before your very eyes. And I said it last week and I remind you again. I want you to completely understand this. There is going to be a great falling away. Those that are believing all we need to do is have the right person elected into office as a governor or president or dog catcher, it doesn't matter, and we can fix the world. We can be a holy people unto God again. And yet, I look at these churches struggling, though especially the ones that are proclaiming the truth of the gospel. So many people don't want to hear it because they don't want to have to be obedient. This is not the way we live anymore. We don't want to obey God's law. We want to do what's good for us. And I shared last week how many churches the week before had made a big deal out of Super Bowl here in the United States, a football game. And the raunchy, you know, programming that they do, you know, the halftime show. And you had churches that were into this. This, I had no use for the Super Bowl. I didn't watch any of it. I had no desire to. I don't care about it anymore. This world is dying and going to hell. People are being called to cry out for the lost and pray, share the good news, answer God's call, and they refuse to do it. And you have all these little woke churches with all the little white-haired hippies celebrating their sin and making a mockery of the gospel. People in leadership that should know better. They don't care about the things of God. They care about their power. They care about getting elected. They care about money. They care about prosperity. They don't give from their they don't give from their wealth. They give like they're in poverty, if they give at all. I am looking at the work that I do. And like I say, I don't spend every radio program talking about things of theology or things of God like I'm doing today. But this is a program that must be shared. These things must be said. If you don't believe that our world is falling apart, if you don't believe that demons are alive and well, and they're actually pagan gods that we are worshiping, whether we know it or not, because we are abiding by pagan God principles, which are nothing but demonic demon principles. Luciferian theology is what's being adopted in the Western world today. I know I've said this 1,000 times before. I'll say it again. Get it through your head that many of the churches today, many of the people today, even the atheists of this age or the agnostics of this age are worshiping pagan deities without even understanding or knowing it. Recycled paganism. Abortion, I've said it before, is the worship of Moloch who demanded infant sacrifice. Ishtar is transgenderism, this explosion of transgenderism all across the Western world. Men deciding they're women and women wanting to be men. Ishtar could make a man a woman and a woman a man. And on it goes. Gaia, worship this planet because the planet is your God. Climate change, extreme environmentalism, you know, don't farm anymore, eat bugs, whatever they come up with. It's all recycled paganism. And we have a church that has failed in its job in teaching young people the things of God, God's word. They failed miserably. Parents failing by allowing their children to stay home and play video games for crying out loud, or watch movies on Netflix instead of worshiping an almighty God and learning God's word. Those parents will stand before God and they will pay a price. Believe me on that. These parents, and I've discussed it with many, they may go to some contemporary church or whatever church, doesn't matter, and their kids are home and they're like 10, 11, 12, and 13. The question is, why are your kids not here? Oh, I let them make a choice on that. Yeah, do you let them make a choice about going to school, brushing their teeth, going to the dentist, or anything else? Well, no. Well, then why this? What kind of disobedient parent are you? You've been entrusted with these children, and you are condemning these children. You're ruining these children. You're giving them over to paganism. And people say, Bob, aren't you being a little over the top? No, I'm not. Look at this world. A couple of weeks ago, we learned this shooter down in Texas, transgender, and there's been an abnormally high number of shooters, and we're finding out, of course, the mainstream media immediately runs away that they're transgender. Remember, it was a transgender that went to that Christian school in Nashville. There's been others, and now a place in Texas. On and on it goes, disproportionately. This is demonic. This is absolutely and totally demonic. And then you have these organizations that are trying to get along with every manner of sin. And just, we just need to get along, bless it, love it, don't say a word about it. Invite everybody in. You know, this diversity, inclusion, and equity, I call it DIE, not DEI, I call it DIE. It's going to do us in. We do all of these things in worshiping the environment, celebrating sin. And let me tell you something. Being the pastor of a church is not easy anymore. Not that it ever really was. Oh, a lot of people say, hey, must be great to have a job. You just work 1 hour on a Sunday. Maybe two, maybe three if you do Sunday night and Wednesday evening or something. But they think it's just a great job. They don't know the hours you put into prayer, meditation, study, preparation, dealing with people and their problems. They don't understand that. It's a thankless job, but I'm thankful that God saw me worthy enough to call me. And I know there are many times that I share the good news of the gospel, and I know people reject what they hear. And I know the hard part, kicking off the dust off my shoes and going on to the next. Part of me serves a little tiny church in Virginia. Then I do this radio program. We also stream the service. And I'm a believer in Christian education because I'm watching so many of our public schools descending into places they need not be, sharing evil with young children they should not do, and preparing for a judgment from God they do not expect. And so in our little part of the world, we try to plan for how to create an educational opportunity for young children, not just in our community, but even across the United States and elsewhere, where they can be educated and given the resources in their own homes. A couple of weeks ago, too, spend some time with a man that I know quite well who had a major influence on my life 30-some-odd years ago. And I've watched how he and his wife raised their children. Even in their lean times, they homeschooled their children. All of their children have excelled and have done well. And all of those children honor Jesus Christ and have answered his call. And God blesses them beyond their own imagination. It's an amazing thing when you serve the Lord. It really is. I have seen what God can do. I've seen miracles before my very eyes. And I know that many of you listen to this radio program, hear bits and pieces. Now, our church is small. We have room for a lot more people to be attending. But once again, Virginia is a state where only 16% of those that claim the name of being an evangelical Christian even bother to go to church. The pandemic made it worse. It gave people a really good ready-made excuse. States like Montana, 9%. Minnesota, Wisconsin, 9%. That's all that attend. Rhode Island, just 4% of self-proclaimed evangelicals go to a church. New Hampshire, 5%. The other 95% are living in deceit. They're living in a false hope. They're not a part of God's kingdom. They're serving the spirit of Antichrist and don't even realize it. Let me just be as clear as I can. What I'm trying to build, not just me, but with many others, I have friends in Canada. I have friends around the United States. I have fellow clergy. We are putting together, let's just say, for lack of a better term for radio, just an organization or a parent church body of like-minded people. There are things that I choose not to fight over, but there are a lot of things that are worthy of my time. Number one, the supremacy of Scripture. Being obedient unto the things of God and understanding that there is a thing called sin and you don't celebrate it. Raising up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And if God is calling you to serve Him, you need to answer that call. And I'm sure there are some of you out there listening to my voice right now that have wrestled with a call in your life. And maybe you've had some kind of a glass ceiling or some kind of a barrier or a closed door. Maybe that's about to change. Maybe I'm not the one to get you from point A to point B, but you're always welcome to reach out to me to talk about it, to share what's on your mind. I have a direct email address that nobody else ever reads except me. That address is bob@truth2ponder.com. bob@truth2ponder.com. Maybe God's put a call on your life. Maybe the church you're attending, you feel there's something wrong. There's something not right. Not that it's small. That's pretty common oftentimes that a church is small because of people that claim to be Christians that just don't go to church. But if your church is merely aging out, then you do have a problem. If your congregation is just older, white-haired people with no children, you have no future. If you have no mission and ministry outside of your four walls, if all you're doing is gathering together like a Christian burial society, then what good are you? You need to ask that question to yourself. If your sermons are mere little history lessons and you're not being equipped for the battleground that is this world, that we are in spiritual warfare, if you are discounting the fact that there are literally, as Martin Luther said in the hymn A Mighty Fortress, devils in this world, if you're pretending they're not there, you're deceiving yourself. And people are caught up with the things of this world and they reject the things of God. Their telephone is more important than their Bible. If people spent 2% of the amount of time they spend with their phone in the Bible, it would be a different country. Just 2%. Imagine if it was 5 or 10%. What a difference it would make. 2 weeks ago, my wife and I had an opportunity to do some traveling. And this is going to be a day that I'm never going to forget. The man that had led me into a church body, because I saw issues within the church body I was attending. And I felt that I was going to a church primarily to return to, and I'm going to use the term old path, so to speak. I never expected to be in ministry, but over the years after, I did. And he encouraged me, this individual who was himself an ordained clergyman. Little did I know that I would take a church in Florida. Little did I know how much my life would change. Little did I know as I moved to similar church bodies because of where I was living and then rising to an office I never expected. Little did I ever would have dreamed 25 years ago that I would be at a church in South Carolina ordaining and consecrating this man that led me into a similar church body to being a leader, a bishop within his own. And there it was, my wife and I making that trip. In his case, I believe it was just correcting an error from years gone by. He should have been at this position ages ago. There is a world that is lost and that is dying. And we have the responsibility. We have the responsibility of reaching. Now, let me give you another thing that needs to be corrected in the thinking of many Christians. Well, we hire a pastor, so it's his job to, you know, preach and whatever we want to hear, of course, and his job to go out there and get more people to fill the pews. No, that's not his job. If you think for one moment the job of your pastor and that you think he's your hireling, that's number one mistake. Your pastor is not your employee. If you think that your pastor is an employee, then you are not in a Christian church. You have become apostate. You are bringing in God's man as your leader, not as your employee. Yes, he'll be your servant because that's what God calls him to do, but he serves under the authority of God, not under your authority, your votes, your whims. If you believe that, then you are not even a Christian anymore. You're apostate. How can I say it any clearer? God sends you shepherds. The sheep don't tell the shepherd what to do. Oh, but that's not how we do it in our church. And you're not a church. You're not a part of the body of Christ. You're some kind of a, you know, Christian moose club. I don't care what you want to call it. It's time to recognize that God raises up men to serve his church. You are to listen to those men unless they are preaching heresy. You are to obey them. And a lot of people have a lot of trouble with being obedient in this day and age. And that's why there's such a great falling away. And that's why the spirit of Antichrist is so dominant today in this world. I know beyond a doubt there are people listening to me in the United States, in Canada, the United Kingdom, across the world, in Europe, that God has been talking to. Are you ready to answer that call? Are you ready to be his servant? I want you, over the next couple of minutes, listen to this short song. And when we get back after this short song, we are going to gather together to ask God how to make it clear to those that need to hear this message of being obedient to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me."
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? I, the Lord of snow and rain. I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turn away. I will break their hearts of stone. Give them hearts for love.
Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, I don't know who needed to hear that message, but I'm pretty certain that somebody did. Maybe it was you. Maybe today is the day you need to find out. Do some praying. If you have a pastor friend, a good Christian friend you can trust, talk to them. You can even reach out to me. I'd be delighted to talk with you if God has a call in your life. If you want, you can use my email, bob@truth2ponder.com. That address, bob@truth2ponder.com. Truth2ponder.com. That is my personal email address, and I will answer you personally. I want to thank all of you that support this radio ministry. I've got more to share on the other side of our break. This radio program is only on the air because of your financial support. We do not have a paywall. I do not sell commercial time. I do not sell food products or generators or books or DVDs. This radio program is here only because of your faithfulness. Several months back, we had the opportunity of going on WTWW, and it's been an up-and-down relationship because of some technical issues out of their control with weather. But being on the frequency of 5085 covers a tremendous amount of the United States and Canada. We also would like to add a daytime frequency, but the way things are now, remaining on WTWW is somewhat questionable. Unless we have the financial support. You can support us from our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, and the zip code 24319, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The Legless Gumby and Show and Tell coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a very special gift you're going to get in a moment. My first big school assignment, and for most of you, was show and tell. You bring in something and you show it. I remember my friend brought in a Gumby doll, rubber with wire inside, and he's showing his Gumby, but it had a problem. There was a leg missing. It was just a stump with a wire sticking out. The kids, we were troubled by this, seeing Gumby as an amputee, and or like a pirate Gumby. And so the teacher says to the boy, Bobby, what happened to Gumby's leg? And Bobby answered, I ate it. Why'd you eat Gumby's leg? Because it tastes like gum. That was traumatic. It was etched in my mind to this day. I think it caused me to avoid show and tell for the rest of my life. All these years, no more show and tell. And most believers don't take part in show and tell. But with God, we have to take part in show and tell. You see, we often take part in tell, but no show. You see, the Lord said to the leper, not just tell him, but show him. Show him. You know, and he tells it again and again, show him. The Bible is not simply about words about God. It's God himself. It's not just the words of truth. It's truth itself. It's God showing himself, manifesting himself, revealing himself so we can be saved. In the same way, the sharing of the gospel isn't just tell, it's show. It's show and tell. Don't just tell them about love. Show them. Don't just tell them about the good news. Show them the good news. Don't just tell them about the power of God. Show them the power of God in your life. Show them the joy of God, the new birth of God, the victory of God in your life. You can spend the rest of your life having nothing to do with Gumby whatsoever, but you have to have something to do with show and tell. Tell them yes. But don't only tell them, show them. Want more? Ask for Show 'em on CD. Now, feeling like your walk with God could use a real spiritual boost? We got the answer. Free subscription to Sapphires. It can change your life. And the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD, all free. You'll love it. How do you get all this? Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So just call for your free gifts, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. I invite you to minister with me in an amazing way. You can blanket the earth with salvation. You want to take part in the farthest way of ever spreading the gospel in your life? Well, that's Shortwave Radio. It's amazing. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. It's right to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111 in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, and Shoam, my friend, in Messiah, HaDerech, the way.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of this weekend edition of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, before the break, I shared with you that I had the most distinct honor of my ministry of ordaining somebody to the office of bishop, somebody that actually had mentored me, and just by the way God works, I ended up being in that position a number of years ago. And I never expected to be doing this. I remember the day that I was ordained to that office, and I'm going, why me? I'm not worthy. I'm not that great. Why would God want me? Why would you believe I should be in this office? And this one dear saint of God looked at me and said, we've prayed about this, and you don't need it today, but something says you're going to need it in about 10 years. And he was right. It was a very difficult time of my life, and ministry was not really the biggest thing I was doing. I was just trying to deal with hurt, deal with life, trying to be in ministry, trying to be obedient. And it seemed like I was down in the valley. Yet there at that point, God prepared me for where I'm at today. Little did I know the major changes that would occur in my life in a matter of just a handful of years. Everything preparing me for the things that I'm doing today. I can't even begin to understand how this was orchestrated. It started with a phone call from that friend I hadn't talked to in years. And we were sharing some of the same things that we're struggling with within our own church group, or church groups, I should say, and how we need to get back to the simplicity of the faith and sharing the gospel. And he should have been made a leader years ago. He had gotten to the point that he had a small church, still does, and little by little, this church grew. Not a very big church, but a very faithful church, a very learned church, a very viable church. And that's where this was held. And so they were able to find a way to get my wife and I down there. Somebody with a private aircraft was able to pick us up here in Virginia, bring us down Friday, and get us back Saturday afternoon after the service so I could be at my church on Sunday to preach. And that little church, in order to accommodate the number of people that came, they had tents set up outside with television screens, and they had to bring in portable bathrooms and everything to accommodate this massive crowd the likes this church had never seen. And God allowed me to preach that service, to conduct that service, and most important, to lay my hands upon this individual to bring him into this extraordinary office. And I know that he is God's man for that office. We were able to record the very brief message that I gave. It was a rather long service, so we kept the message brief. But I want you to hear it. And maybe you're wrestling with a call. Maybe your church is at a crossroad. Maybe you're trying to find out where you belong. I invite you to join me in the little town of Westminster, South Carolina, right there at the Tugalo River, as I share this message with that congregation on that day, the day that we laid hands on my good friend, Chip Angel. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. I woke up several times last night thinking about what to say today. Up until about 3 days ago, I had it all prepared. I had it all memorized at, 10.7 minutes or something along that line? 12.7. And last night as I was thinking about this day and what it means, two things came to my mind. First, an old Lutheran hymn that I knew as a kid, which is pretty much a transfiguration hymn. "'Tis good, Lord, to be here. Thy glory fills this place. Man, today, God's glory is here in this place." I have no doubt about that in my mind. And I contemplated around 2:30 or 3 o'clock this morning the journey that Chip started me on to be where I'm at today. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing any of this. This man's influence is a lot greater than I think even he begins to even perceive. And the calling that God has put on his life beginning this day is going to be landmark in the faith. And for those that hold to traditional Anglicanism as delivered, it's about time. Amen. Every once in a while, the church needs another reformation of sorts. And I really believe that over the years, there has got to be that purging. There's got to be that ever vigilance to hold true to God's word. And as you depart from that, well, then you have error, you have conflict, you have no growth, you have apostasy. And so I said, "Lord, give me what I should preach on today from your word." And it came pretty clear. I've preached on this a number of times. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think, really explains not only where our world is today, it also explains where the church has in many places descended to this day.
chapter 2. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Pause with me here on that one verse, a great falling away. It wasn't that many, many years ago that many people were offended, they were shocked, when the president at the time of the United States said, the United States is no longer a Christian nation. How many people remember that statement? And I was offended until I thought about it. And over the years, I hate to admit it, but he is right. We have ceased to be a Christian nation. We have ceased to be the godly people. We have ceased to be the land carved out of a wilderness. We have ceased to give God his greatness. And we put our greatness in politicians. We violate what the psalmist said. Do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. Put them in God. And people, there's been a great falling away. And it wasn't just because of the pandemic. It was occurring for quite a long time, this gradual descent. This gave a nice excuse for many churches to suddenly have a reason not to be there. And as the years have gone by, they haven't gone back. And yet, in the ministry, I mean, I was ready to hang it all up myself. I get it. I know. I've been there. But I'm sensing, in spite of a great falling away, there is this yearning among many people for the things of God. There is this hunger for something that is real, that is tangible, that's not based upon feelings and emotions and what's in it for me. I'm starting a small church with people that have been churchified. They have been to a church and they're not being fed. And now we're starting anew. There needs to be a home for people that think, like Chip, all the clergy that is sitting in here today, true believers in the things of God. True worshipers, holy unto God. I have friends that are Nazarenes, and they have an expression that they use, holiness unto the Lord. The church in America today has, number one, lost holiness unto the Lord. Anything goes. Many churches have decided this book is no longer relevant to them and can be reinterpreted in the light of psychology. To do as we please, and for what purpose? I know, and Chip was there when I was ordained a deacon, and I took my commitment to what God's Word has to say very seriously. Have I always lived up to that calling? No. Have I always been the perfect clergyman? Far from it. I echo the words of St. Paul, chief of sinners. I mean, there by the grace of God go any of us. Yet we are redeemed, we are restored, we are empowered, and guess what? We are the church. Do you feel like you're in church today? I mean, I'm going to keep it down. I'm really going to do this. I'm going to keep it in short time. Ask my wife, this is another miracle. The church is the living body of Christ on this earth, the ecclesia, the called out. Too many people that claim the name of Christ are not living Christ-like. Too many people that claim to be Christians don't even fellowship with other Christians anymore. They're on their own. They're, well, I don't need organized religion. I go to the first church of the Home Depot on Sunday. You see them out there. They do a lot. The Home Depot does better than most churches in a town these days. And I've even had to correct in mind myself not to fall into that trap of convenience. It's not easy in a world that has walked away. Now that the majority of people no longer attend any kind of a church at all, the majority of people, many don't even believe in God anymore, don't believe in any of it. They've just walked away from it. They live for themselves and tomorrow and their house and their jobs and the economy and maybe two jobs, whatever it takes, and the new car that they want and that vacation and that cruise. And they don't give God his. And then they wonder why their lives are confused. They wonder why their lives are in turmoil. They wonder why their lives just are empty and missing something. Some try to find a seeker-friendly church. Music's great. The message is a pep talk, a little side of Jesus. And I'm running into those people today that go, isn't there more to this? Isn't there? Are we missing something here? I go, yes, you are. What's at that altar? You're missing. It empowers you. It strengthens you. It grows you. It is spiritual food. In depth into God's word. A lot of churches don't want to be there today. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to say something that might get somebody to want to come back. They don't want to be seen as not caring or loving. The most unloving thing a church can ever do is to fail to proclaim God's word to a lost and dying world. And I recognize the day that a chasuble was tossed on me, that I had an awesome responsibility. Chip, you know that responsibility. You've had it on your life for many, many years. And I'm going to close on this thought, and I want to know if any of you agree with me on this. This day for you is long overdue. This should have happened a decade or two ago. But politics can be the enemy of the church. The underbelly. And you explained to me when I became a deacon, you're about to discover things about the church you never knew existed. You weren't kidding. You weren't kidding at all. There have been times that I've wanted to hang it all up, give away or sell the vestments. I had one set that I did give away to somebody starting out. I said, good luck. Enjoy them. I've been there. But I know a home is being built. And the final thing from this that I want you to understand, we live in a world of what the Bible says is delusion. People are now believing the lie. And it's very strongly worded here. They believe it under their own damnation, being this deceived. Churches and individuals have chosen to believe a lie, and God has given them over to believe it. And so the last word, the church is, and you said it the other day, my wife has been saying it to me for 8 years. We are the remnant. Welcome to the remnant church, the one that'll be empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, by his Holy Spirit. No doubt in my mind about that. You thought you saw things here before in this building. The best is yet to come. Amen. And amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Thank you.
Well, our time is just about up for this weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. I know we have listeners that only hear the program on the weekend, and many of you that can hear it throughout the week, either as a podcast from the website or their favorite podcast source, or on shortwave radio. Now, next week, we have a number of programs that originate from Florida. We'll give you some updates of what's going on behind the scenes. And by the way, on the 3rd of March, hard to believe that a week from today is going to be the beginning of the month of March. Next weekend, we will be preaching at a church in Vero Beach, and I'm excited about that opportunity. Freedom Church in Vero Beach. That'll be their 10 o'clock service, I believe, or is it 10:30? We'll let you know as we get closer. I want to thank all of you that pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for us, and pray for this radio program. We truly want to stay growing on shortwave, not pulling back. I don't want to be behind a paywall. I don't want to be selling stuff. I don't want commercials. I want this program to be purely about what God lays on my heart and never have to worry about what people think. If you believe in our mission and ministry for Truth to Ponder, would this be the first time that maybe you've considered support? You can visit our website, truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.